How long is it? Like 15? All right. Thomas, I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for asking me to share, Sandy, for the seventh time in the last 2 weeks. This is the first place I ever shared over a year ago, and it's been quite a journey from I don't know, like 13, 14 months ago until today. So I'll start from the beginning. I was born in Paris. I lived there till I was 11, and I moved to Boston. Stayed there for 7 years, and then came here. I was born into a household with an alcoholic father who got sober when I was 17. And in the meantime, my sister also got sober when I was 17. And while this was going on, I was sort of experiencing my bottom. I started drinking when I was 15. And it wasn't, you know, an epiphany, first time drunk, this is amazing, this is what my life is going to be about. But it quickly turned into that, where every time I got drunk, that was what it felt like. And it slowly progressed from when I was 15 to through 18 and into the time I was 19. And that was when I experienced my bottom, was my first year of college. And it was prompted by a lot of change. I'm someone who doesn't deal with change very well. You know, and I don't want to blame it on the change at all, but my answer to dealing with change was to drink. So I drank heavily for that first year of college and started to take on other drugs as well. And I experienced my bottom that first summer after college. And, it's an interesting bottom because I didn't lose anything. I was living with my parents at the time. I had a car, I had a house, I had food. And it's hard to put two and two together sometimes. You know, it's a good excuse for me. Sometimes when I'm feeling a little bit unstable, a good excuse for me to look back and say, well, look, I didn't lose anything. Maybe I'm not an alcoholic. All these people tell their stories, you know, had to lose everything. But that's just not the case because I was just an emotional wreck. So I decided to transfer schools. I was at a school south of Boston, and I transferred to Montreal, hoping that changing my environment would fix my drinking. And sure enough, first 2 months in Montreal, spent way too much money, got out of control. And luckily, my sister was in Montreal, and she was at a noon meeting downtown having a cigarette break, and I happened to be walking by, and she called me in, and I said, you know what, I have an hour and a half to spare, I might as well go in for a meeting. And I kept going since then, and I, you know, I just sat and listened for a couple of weeks, and then I picked up a beginner's chip, and I started to want to change. And I was sober for about 4 months, and then I slipped. And looking back on it, the slip was exactly what needed to happen, because in that first 4 months, I didn't get a home group or sponsor or do the steps. I was just kind of exploring, you know, the possibility of AA. And you know, I slipped. I wasn't working the program, but it catapulted me into the program way harder than before, and within a week joined a home group and got a sponsor and started working the steps. And that was in March of last year. So since coming to the program the second time and starting to work the steps has really been starting the steps was really when the dramatic changes within me started to happen. You know, and it started with the fourth, writing this list writing this tangible thing that I can look at and hold, you know, which is looking at me on a piece of paper and seeing myself from an angle that I'd never seen myself before, and seeing these patterns of behavior, and it just clicked in my head, you know, and it was a very, very opening, eye-opening experience. And I'm currently facing the eighth step, which I'm a little bit apprehensive, I guess, a little scared to do, because it requires so much humility. And I'm someone who, where I am right now, I still need to be forced into humility, where I don't usually willingly become humble. I have to get beaten down a few times and then be forced into it. So on one hand, I'm looking forward to being forced into that humility, because, you know, for me, humility is really the root of it all, and it's also the hardest single thing that I aim for in sobriety. And I don't know if, you know, I probably am in, like, egotistical and all that stuff, and anyway, it's just something that I don't willingly do. And that's what's great about the steps, is that it's something there that I have to be forced into. And I'm going to be going back to Boston this summer, and that's where a lot of the wreckage is. And I'm going to have to clean that up. And I'm scared to face my past, you know, I really am. But it's definitely coming to a point where I have to do that. And I don't know. I suppose a small part of me is looking forward to it. But anyway, so recently, just about maybe like the past month has been the most phenomenal month in my sobriety. The month before my year, I got so, I thought I'd figured it out, basically, and I took my will back, you know, and I'm constantly battling between my will and the alternative, you know, which is surrendering my will. It's a constant battle, and it's very, very tiring. And I really hang on to my will until I'm forced to make a decision, you know, where I'm ultimately making a decision. Do I want to go back down where I came from, or do I want to choose, you know, growing and keeping and staying in this program and learning how to live life and facing my character defects? So I came pretty close, you know. I was at a meeting and I was just boiling, and I had chosen where I was gonna go drink after, you know, this bar on Saint Laurent that I used to drink at when I first came to Montreal. You know, I was gonna go there. I was gonna have a few beers, and it was the strongest craving I'd ever gotten in my life. And luckily, I was the coffee pot cleaner, and the 10 minutes that I stayed after, it gave me a chance to just say it to someone. You know, that's all I needed, was to just say it and not keep it inside of me. And I got a chance to say it and talk about it and figure out what was going on. And it kept me from a slip. And it really, since that moment, my life has just been absolutely, completely turning around just in the last month, you know. And it's phenomenal, and I'm so grateful for it. And I still, you know, obviously get challenged in day-to-day life because there's so many things out of my control. And recently, I've been having some issues with my roommates. They're, you know, pretty heavy partiers. And they're, you know, they're all leaving. They graduated. And I don't know, long story short, we had lease problems. And they were sort of, well, not they. I was trying to be a people pleaser. And I've been that way for most of my life, entirely putting other people's needs before me, and it was the most chaotic day that I've had all year yesterday, you know, trying to figure this out and trying to make sure that what everyone wanted was going to be satisfied and that I could be the person who gave everyone what they wanted, you know, and it was horrible at the time, but looking back on it today, I'm very grateful for it because it gave me a chance to set my limit with them, and I'm not one to usually do that. You know, I'm not one to say, me first, this is what's important to me, this is what I need. You know, screw what you need right now, this is what I need to be saying. And that was really enabled by a meeting that I went to last night. You know, like, I confronted my roommates and they became very defensive and really didn't like the fact that I was challenging their will, you know, and challenging what they wanted to do. So I just left and I went to a meeting and I cooled off and I came back and resolved it. And it's so helpful, and I'm so grateful to have those tools available now that I can deal with those things, and that I don't have to lead a chaotic life if I don't want to, that I have the choice, you know, and that I know that I have that choice now. And I'm never forced down one path necessarily. And I've seen my choices have been changing, you know, like I said, I'm not one to make humble choices right away. But they have been changing, you know, and I used to put myself into very vulnerable situations where I wanted to feel powerful by the fact that if I wanted to, I could drink whenever I wanted. So I'd go to bars with friends, and you know, I don't feel power from that anymore. What I feel power from now, what leads me to sanity, is just accepting that I can't control the world, you know, and that the only person that I can control is me, you know, and that my whole life, my perception, it all starts from me. And you know, when I'm acting with fear, when I'm being selfish, that's how I'm gonna view the world. I'm gonna attract and see the fear and see it as directed towards me in a very self-centered way, feel sorry for myself, go into toxic isolation. And, you know, by the same token, when I choose to act out of humility, the world just seems a better place, you know, and I didn't do anything. The world is still the same as it was. It's just, you know, a change for me. And it's also because I've learned in this program to not focus on the effect of something. To, you know, if I'm behaving a certain way, it's not going to help if I focus on how I'm behaving, because that just pisses me off. You know, when I was getting angry at my roommates yesterday and focusing on that anger on my roommates, it was pissing me off even more, because that wasn't the problem. You know, my roommates weren't the problem. They were just the effect of another problem. And AA has given me the ability to look for that cause, for that root problem. And it's incredible how finding the cause of these problems or the root of the problems, how just focusing on that just makes things fall into place around me, basically, you know. And it's not, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. Like, a lot of the time things really don't fall into place, and it's hard it's hard to accept bad times when I'm in a bad time. You know, it's fine for me to accept them when I'm in a good time and look back and say, well, hey, look, I grew so much from this. But when I'm in those bad times, I really need to reach for, I just need to reach out, you know, and I need to become humble and say that, you know, the world isn't catering to my needs for a reason, and I need to accept that. And it's still one of the single hardest things in sobriety for me is to turn that around. But the more that I'm in the program, the more I'm discovering that if I just go to a meeting and talk, it really increases the likelihood of me getting over whatever it is that's consuming me or that I'm dwelling on. How long have I been going? What time did I start at? I don't know, whatever. Well, I'm a much, much more happy person today than I was a year and a half ago, and I owe it entirely to the program, you know, and to myself, and the fact that I took it into my hands to do something about my problem. Well, I'm basically out of things to say, so thanks again, Sandy, for asking me to speak, and I hope someone got something out of what I said. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks very much, Thomas. I would encourage everyone to take the opportunity to thank Thomas for letting me get to know him a little better. I certainly can identify with a lot of what he mentioned. But on behalf of